beats is much better.
Hello, teens on the internet. You're listening to Jeff from Snack Point Charlie on WGXC Acra 90.7 FM, home of the hits.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, February 1st. Early on, we see 1 degree in Wemple and 8 degrees in Twilight Park. Conditions today will be freezing this morning and cold this afternoon. Make sure that you layer up. A high of 34 is expected at 2 p.m. That brief thaw could cause some icy spots, so be careful if traveling. Overnight, temperatures drop a little bit to 23 degrees, not nearly as brutal as the last couple days. Tomorrow will be dry but cloudy and have a high of 42. 35 degrees overnight takes us into a soggy Thursday. Rain all day with a high of 41. That rain turns to freezing rain, making things a bit dangerous before sunup on Friday. After which, an inch of snow is expected to fall through the day with a high of 27 degrees. The weekend is currently looking dry with highs in the mid to upper 20s. And if you like seasonal predictions but want something better than a supernatural rodent, the next couple months are expected to have above normal temperatures, which could mean an early end to winter. Considering the accuracy of Punxsutawney Phil, this is likely to lead to him seeing his shadow tomorrow. Sunset today will be at 4:54 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:04 a.m. Looking way up, we see a coronal mass ejection is due to strike on Wednesday, and an incoming solar wind is expected to arrive on Sunday. More active solar regions are on the way. Solar wind speed is currently 412 kilometers per second at 3.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then honestly not much better overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 11. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's how you cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Bob Wills Architecture of Rhinecliffe, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
When you think you've seen everything, if I were living in days like these, and say you only take what you bring, maybe that's just the way they speak, knowing I would do anything. Is it something that I can't see? Everybody just chased by dreams. That's why we're living in days like these again. isn't something you can change. It isn't coming in two. Always looking for that one thing. Oh, you want it so desperately. You know you're never gonna feel complete. No, you're never gonna be released. Maybe never even see me. That's why we're living in days
Welcome back to Ginger Radio Hour. I'm Justin Maiman, live from the WGXC Acre Studio on this beautiful sunny day that is and will warm up. Lots and lots of shiny new things today. I'm going to use both turntables, one and two. I'm even going to try to use the CD player, which I haven't done in this studio yet. I guess I'm seeking some mistakes that maybe lead to some breakthroughs and inspiration. That's what we do here on Ginger Radio Hour. So we're going to use that CD player and the turntables to hear lots of music, new music to me, both last year and just new to me for my ears, my open ears. We're also today going to meet Carla Rhodes, a wildlife photographer who's based in the Catskills. She took a series of photos that really struck me. Maybe you won't be surprised. They're photographs of birds and other animals under a feeder in her backyard with mountain views here in the Catskills. So we'll get to Carla Rhodes In about 15 minutes or so, she and I talked about so many things. She's inspiring if you're into becoming a naturalist and learning how to use camera traps and do all sorts of photography. So, more from that soon. Let's listen to some music first on the CD. Let's see if I can make this happen.
Let's move to the country. Let's move to the country. Just you and me. My travels are over. My travels are through. Travels are over.
So excited to start the show off today that I didn't even tell you what that very first song was. That was Low with Days Like These. And now let's go in reverse order. You just heard Cat Power, Against the Wind, from her newest covers album. Before that, Mdou Mokhtar with Taliat. And even before that, I used the CD player in here, which was pretty delightful. CD player 2. And that was Smog. Let's move to the country. Me and you. Coming up in a bit, wildlife photographer Carla Rhodes. She and I talked about many things, including camera traps, photography, dark-eyed juncos, so many other birds, flying squirrels. I also learned that she has a parrot named Colonel Mustard. But we don't get into that in the part of the interview I'm going to play for you. Let's hear some more music.
Thank you.
That was Fumihiro Murakami, the song Miko. So the thing about Carla Rhodes is she sees things differently. She brings a new perspective, I think. And she sees things that are right in front of us that I think most of us miss, including me. She introduced me, literally, to the dark-eyed Junkos in my own backyard. Carla Rhodes is a wildlife conservation photographer. She made the ultimate pivot from comedian and ventriloquist to a photographer and a naturalist. I met her for the first time yesterday, but I've seen her photos around for a bit. They're striking. They're obviously, she's a wildlife photographer of animals and birds. And at the beginning of the pandemic, here in the Catskills, in her backyard, she started this project called Beneath the Bird Feeder. You can see it on her website, carlarhodes.com. It's R-H-O-D-E-S. And I'll have some links to her work, her website, and her Instagram, Carla Rhodes on Instagram, in the show notes. So this project, Beneath the Bird Feeder, is what we began talking about when we chatted yesterday. I'm going to let her explain what it was like in the middle of it, at the beginning of it. But again, the series Beneath the Bird Feeder, she began right at the start of the pandemic. Here's Carla Rhodes and I talking.
I just did that every day for 4 months, and it really brought me a lot of joy. It brought me something to get, I get very obsessive about photo product. Clearly, if I'm doing something every day for 4 months, and it was just really cool. You know, when I only have my bird feeder up while bears are hibernating, because I'm really against causing any type of human wildlife conflict. We have enough up here, and I'm sure as you've probably noticed, I know I have, I've never seen more roadkill and things in the past, in the pandemic years, because everybody moved up here, which is great, but also not so great. So I'm pretty strict about ethics with it. So it was kind of a self-imposed deadline. I can only do this during this because then the bird feeder comes down. And of course you can do it other times, you know, maybe under a native food source or anything like that. But it was a really fun project, super fun, really challenging, really frustrating, and just continually surprised. And I knew dark-eyed Junkos were amazing. They're looked over, but they hands down have the most personality of any bird feeder bird. I mean, just really like little clowns. The stuff that they gave me my favorite shots, just they... very curious, but as you know, because you seem to know a lot about birds and wildlife, they're ground feeding birds, so maybe that's just what they do, poking around and being curious and looking adorable.
So I have a lot of questions, especially because lately I've been thinking about getting a camera. Do you call it a camera trap or a trap camera?
I mean, it's referred to as a camera trap. I actually don't, I'm not crazy about that word, because it's not a trap. So like, but it's probably impossible to change at this point. It's just what people understand. It's basically a remotely triggered camera that's triggered by motion or heat. This is heat censored. If you think of basically, I guess the easiest way to explain it, like, think about a motion activated light in your garden, except it's going to trigger your camera minus the light. So there's all different systems you can get. You can buy a trail camera for about $100. Those have gotten pretty fancy quality wise, but then you can hook a DSLR up to a trigger. You can build your own housings. You can buy ready-made systems. There's all different ways you can go about it. It can get extremely expensive, like anything in photography does. So this project got such a great response, and I get many emails asking about gear and all those things. And my thing is, you know, work within what your curiosity and your budget allows. And if you really enjoy it, just keep going up and up. That's what I've done. Because it is quite the learning curve.
Well, so that's what I've discovered. I've discovered there's some somewhat cheap, quick options, which is what I think I'm going to pursue initially so that I can, you know, make a bunch of mistakes. But so I'm curious, so you did use like a nicer DSLR camera that you then hooked up. How did you leave a camera outside in the Catskills in the winter?
Well, so I've been using trail cams for a really long time, like really cheap trail cams, $100 and below. And I just got really obsessed with it and studying track and sign, studying animal scat, studying footprints. And I really learned if you study habitat and track and sign, you can get much better shots as opposed to just randomly putting a camera on a tree, you know, pointing at a random thing. And I became so obsessed with it, I started to read about camera trapping. But at the same time, I was developing as a wildlife photographer. I knew that I loved it so much and I was so interested in it, I frankly went all in. You know, this is a second career for me, so I wanted to hit the ground running. So I got a system called Cognosys, and they make a ready-made system that's, it's basically a really fancy Pelican case with, it's all wireless, which is amazing. Very water resistant, not waterproof. You can't submerge it underwater. Maybe you could for a few minutes. I don't know. Don't hold me to that. And so the DSLR, which is actually, I put a very old, considering technology-wise, DSLR in there, and just use a lot of time manual lenses I'm not using anymore. And when the trigger goes, it activates the camera, which activates the flashes. And it's all wireless. It's very cool. But there's systems that, like anything, at all price points. So you can start at any level. I just always recommend if you haven't done this before, it's probably better to just explore and go than jump it in. My journey was a little different because I had really been messing around with trail cams and doing standard wildlife photography for a while. That said, it's an amazing system. I wish I could like sing the praises of other systems, but it's kind of the thing that I got and I've stuck with and I love. So that's the one I use.
And how did you decide to put it on the ground rather than aimed at the feeder?
I put it on the ground because frankly, I'm kind of weird. I just like weird, different perspectives. That's what I'm drawn to. And I was also, I'm an extremely like curious person. I was curious what kind of ecosystem the feeder would create. I also think the mice that live up here are adorable. And I was just thinking about habitat and what was going on. And I just thought, well, if I was a mouse, I'd probably come and do cleanup duty at night because, you know, you always see squirrels under a bird feeder and other things. So it was really just to hopefully challenge myself to camera trap mice, to just learn. It really started just being curious and then seeing. And it took a long time because it took a lot of like tinkering with to get the angle. Like I have a beautiful mountain view, but I wasn't even pointed at that at first. I was pointed like the other direction, like at my driveway. I thought it would be cool with the car in the back. And then one day the camera box got knocked around and I saw the mountain. I'm like, oh wait, I can get the mountain in. But then to get that view, just even burying the box a little, I mean, I couldn't get the box as low as I wanted. I had to take it off even a tripod and start burying it. So really just my mind kind of likes a challenge. As long as it's not a math challenge, that I will give up on immediately. But stuff like this, I'll just be like lately just sitting in the snow for an hour and then realize I can't feel my hands. You know, that type of thing, because I get so into it.
So do you still have it out there now?
I actually resumed it earlier this month because I wanted to see I have a bluestone wall, like many of us do up here. It's very Catskills thing. And last year I got amazing different creatures coming out of the bluestone wall. And so this year I've really been focusing on that. And it's really been cool. I got a flying squirrel coming out, which I would have never expected. a redback vole, which I'm very familiar with voles, but I didn't even know about the redback vole. They have like very red hair. They're beautiful. They look like basically, I've actually trolled a few friends sending them the photo. I'm like, someone lost their hamster. It's in my yard. And they're like, oh my God, get it help. And I'm like, got you. It's a redback vole. I have not seen him or her for about a week and a half. So I'm actually pretty sad and concerned, but I know things have to eat. You know, we have the snow that's sticking around. So I hope the vole is holed up somewhere. And then I'm obsessed with northern short-tailed shrews now, and that's a frequent visitor. And I hope to, I've kind of moved away from the bird feeder this year. I have it up, but I've been working so hard the past few years on cultivating a native garden. So it's been really interesting to see what's coming to the plants, because I just, we all know it's easier just not to clean up your garden, and it's actually better for wildlife. But it's been, I had a really good year in my garden. And so it's been very interesting to see what birds go to the seed heads and things like that. Basically, everybody goes to it. I'm even out there eating coneflower heads every day.
You mind saying a bit, you know, I try to talk a lot about all the things you can do in the winter to make sure that, especially the birds, that you can feed them and feed them well, if you're, you know, if you're able to have a feeder up. But can you talk a little bit more about what you did outside in your garden that now is reaping all these benefits for them and for you for snacking?
Yeah, I'm glad you're into that. Well, it involved a lot of cursing, because as you hear, you dig a hole and it's like tons of rocks. I could build like a whole wall with all the rocks I've dug up. It's just been a slow thing of just really being conscious and learning about native things, or if I have a native plant, like splitting it up. I mean, someone came over and they're like, you have like so many random things. And I'm like, good, because I've just tried to make good decisions. Like I love rough grouse. So I planted a service berry for rough grouse. I love, coneflowers, just all different things. I think National Wildlife Federation has a great resource online. And then of course, up here, we have Catskill Native Nursery. So they ended up recognizing me, because I'll just go and just wander around for a few hours learning stuff. And it's really just talking to people and learning and making those decisions. You know, I want to do things that benefit wildlife. The amount of monarch butterflies in my garden this year, I actually got scared. I'm like, I'm gonna have to sell my house. There are so many monarchs, they're coming to get me. And even a neighbor came by and he's like, I walked by your house and there's like butterflies everywhere. What are you doing? And I said, I'm just planting really specific things. They're like, even with hummingbirds, I bought a cardinal flower a couple of years ago, and now I've got like 20 cardinal flowers that are beautiful, and hummingbirds freak out about them. So, I think it's just being conscious and making these decisions. When you do buy a plant, just think about the bigger picture. Don't think about just what you want. I mean, I'm not one of these people that's going to be like, oh, don't ever get something that's not native to this area. I don't know enough about gardening to even have that attitude. But I think just with little changes, it can make a big difference. Because even in my garden, the amount of moss and even salamanders this year, it was insane. These redback salamanders, which I'm becoming more observant. Garden is bringing a lot of things in, which is really exciting. And the amount of crazy insects were insane. Like there's a bee fly. I don't know the name. You might know it. Mm-mm. It looks like a bee, but it's a fly. The other one, ambush bugs, one of my favorite bugs I've ever seen. They look like out of a Jim Henson movie, The Dark Crystal. They love goldenrod, and they're these little bugs that like sit like this. They're so cute. They probably not cute, because they sit there and hide and grab things that go by. And then tons of crab spiders this year. The amount of crab spiders on goldenrod and coneflowers were insane.
I'm very impressed with your knowledge. You're clearly a naturalist, and I'm wondering where you began to learn a lot of these things.
And well, that's a compliment. Thank you. I just learn stuff every day. I actually went to school for mass communication. I'm from Kentucky and I lived in New York City for 16 years. And when my husband and I got our place in the Catskills, I don't know, they say the Catskills are magic, as you know, and just something changed inside of me. And all I think about every moment is nature, and it's driven by curiosity, and nature always seems to be presenting new things to me every day. And I'm just constantly learning, and my mind is like the red-backed bull that started showing up this year, or with track and sign, or about like, I had a moment last year where I was just completely obsessed with ghost pipes. I forgot the Latin name. You know, they're a wildflower up here that lacks chlorophyll, and they're completely white, and they only grow in certain conditions. They're Google ghost. Yeah, if you want to get your mind blown. So it's just stuff like that. Stuff like that even exists. And a lot of wildlife photographers I know, I mean, I think I was like that as well. You think you have to travel all the way around the world to see something cool. But there's just so many stories surrounding us. And people are missing these stories, like what comes underneath your bird feeder, because they're thinking about going all around the world, which is great, but if you stay in one place a long time, certain things are going to reveal themselves to you that are magical, that only comes with spending time somewhere. So I'm really, you know, the pandemic sucks and it's insane, and some days I feel like the world is ending, but also nature really keeps me sane, and the pandemic was a gift to me because it really made me look even closer about what was around me.
Looking at Carla's website right now. You have to check it out. CarlaRhodes.com. It's R-H-O-D-E-S. And Carla with a C. I guess I could have started from the beginning. But there will be links to her website and to her Instagram in the show notes and on my brand new Tumblr page in honor of the 10th Ginger Radio Hour, which is today. Made a Tumblr. And in the Tumblr, you can find an archive of every show, full playlist, links to all the artists and writers and photographers and other people that I speak with. Anyway, you can find that Tumblr link as well in the show notes and at justinmaiman.com. I also wanted to tell you that the Ginger newsletter, which came out last night, which you can find on my website, also featured a different interview with Carla. A different piece of that interview, focusing on a whole nother photo project she did, taking photographs of greater adjutants, which are these beautiful, mesmerizing, striking 5, 6, 7 foot storks. Anyway, check that out, and I want to say thank you again to Carla.
On my garden gates, a snail, that's what it is. The lock up on my garden gates, a snail, that's what it is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First first there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. Caterpillar sheds his skin to find a butterfly within. Caterpillar sheds his skin to find a butterfly within. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain. Oh, one needs a. Oh, one needs a. I call your name. Oh, the snow will be a blinding sight to see as it lies on yonder hillside. Lock up on my garden gate, a snail, that's what it is. Lock up on my garden gate, a snail, that's what it is. Caterpillar sheds his skin to find a butterfly within. Caterpillar sheds his skin to find a butterfly within. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is.
Andrew Bird singing Fake Palindromes. before that, Donovan, There Is a Mountain. And you heard some Flying Lotus. The track was Descent into Madness, as I talked after Carla's interview. So this is the time where I have to remind you to please feed the birds. It's been cold out there. And I've been lucky to have two feeders up and a suet and a couple nut feeders on salted peanuts. And I've had a string of really wonderful bird days. Hairy woodpeckers, red-bellied woodpeckers, downy woodpeckers, all at the suet. And then, of course, the dark-eyed juncos underneath the feeders, picking up all that seed and running around like clowns, as Carla would say. So I've been lucky, and today I did something that I should have done more recently, but now I'm here to tell you this is community radio. So let me be helpful. Please wash your bird feeders. Clean them out. This is the time of year when birds need that food, but you also don't want them to get a cold or something much, much worse. Bird feeders are a great place to spread all sorts of avian diseases. So let them eat all that food up and then bring it inside and wash it with some hot water and soap. And finally, wanted to ask all of you to be curious, like Carla. Carla is exactly the kind of person that I love spending an afternoon talking to. I'm glad I could bring her to Ginger Radio Hour. And one of the things that I was really struck by was the amount of curiosity she has. She doesn't need to leave her backyard. She's been all sorts of places, but she's more than happy to be kneeling in the snow working on her camera in her backyard. Here in the Catskills in the winter. Have a wonderful week. Please go to justinmaiman.com to get all sorts of links to the newsletter, to the radio hour, check out the Tumblr, and please check out Carla's work. Let's listen to some more music. Bustin' Loose. Closer to spring, the beginning of spring, than we are to the beginning of winter.
Keep what you got until you get what you need, y'all.
Something to look forward to.
You got to give a lot just to get what you need sometimes, y'all.
Bustin' loose, give it a break.